Please open your copies of God's Word to Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6, and we read verses 10 to 20. Ephesians chapter 6, and reading from verse 10, all the way up to and including verse 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. And most especially this evening then, with the Lord's gracious help, verse 13. Having last week looked at verses 10, 11, and 12, now look at verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And so we're continuing with the Apostle's exhortation to every believer to be an active soldier for Christ. Now, I'm not going to say much about the believer as a soldier for Christ this week. That really comes to the fore when we're examining the various parts of the whole armor of God from verse 14 onwards. Now, verse 11 itself, as we looked at last week, already uses that phrase, mentions that word, the whole armor of God. And as we mentioned also in the Greek, that literally the word that's used is the panoply, the panoplia. The entire includes weaponry. It's not just the passive armor that protects, but it is the weapons of the soldier are included in that whole armor of God, the whole armor, the arms of God. The armory was also included in that. And so Paul continues that very thought that he begins in verse 11 in verse 13. Before he unfolds and unpacks the different parts that he wants to explain. And last time we considered then, with the Lord's help, the whole enemy of God's people. And we saw what we saw in those verses was essentially that the flesh, the world, and the devil were pointed out to us as being our combined enemy, the combined enemy of the believer and of the church. Verses 10 to 12 then. But Paul now refocuses our mind not so much on the enemy, and there are certain parts of Christianity that are constantly focused upon the devil and the works of the devil and how we are to defeat the devil. But no, Paul says, no, we've accepted that this is true. It is, the devil is, he exists. His influence in the world and that worldly influence exists. And that sinful nature that we carry around with us, those three things exist. But now he refocuses our eyes upon God's provision. Because as he begins to open up once again this whole armor of God, which is the title of the message this evening, the whole armor of God. And we'll examine then verse 13 in three points before we get into verses 14 to I would say 20 is the fullness of this whole armor of God. We'll get in to this sort of say last introduction to the whole armor of God by Paul in verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So the first thing that we see in that verse is the pronouncement to put on all the armor. The pronouncement to put on all the armor. The first part of verse 13 then. Wherefore, for which reason take unto you the whole armor of God. Let's acknowledge first of all that the wording that we have in verse 13 taken together is an exhortation. We are exhorted. Those that profess faith in Christ are exhorted to put on this whole armor of God. And added to this exhortation, the verb that he uses, just to be a little bit technical, he says, take unto you. That type of verb used is called an imperative verb. So that is an outright command. So the whole of the verse is an exhortation, and it begins with a command. And as with all commandments, what should our motivation be? As Christians, what should our motivation be in obeying the commandments of God? Well, it's love. The Lord makes that very clear. John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then you would go into the chapter 15, and I think there's another four or five places where again that doctrine in slightly different angles of attack is then introduced once again. That if you love me, keep my commandments. It is, we do it out of the motivation of love. It's not only the motivation for keeping Christ's commandments to be one of heartfelt love toward Christ. And it's certainly not to therefore to be a Pharisaical duty. I do this because I think I should, and if I do this, then I have merit with God, or God is less angry with me, whatever the Pharisaical idea is. Christ says, no, if you love me, keep my commandments. So not only is the motivation an aspect of keeping the commandments, but it's also proof. The fact that we keep his commandments is proof that we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you could turn around and say, well, how can we discern on the outside what is the motivation on the inside? Well, what if someone keeps these commandments, but in reality, in their heart, they have either Pharisaical tendencies or they are just a spiritually dead Pharisee? How can you tell? When we consider that thing, is it for self-righteousness' sake, or is it for Christ's sake? And that can be difficult. Well, I would just say this. These were just thoughts that sort of moved on in my own head. Well, one of the ways that we can discern that is, what is their relationship with the law? What is the relationship with the law? Was the law, in their case, and their failure to keep it, a schoolmaster to drive them to Christ, and now they're with Christ, they keep the law because it's a personal expression of love and thanksgiving? Or do they make misuse of the law, and do they turn it into a merciless stick to accuse and to beat other believers over the head with it? And that's something you certainly see in the professing church. But it's not what Christ commands. The scriptures teach us that the correct motivation for obedience is to be love to Christ, not hate to his people. So that just seemed an appropriate lesson to learn. Now back to verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. So it is an exhortation, it is a command. And the reasons for the exhortation really were thrown back to the previous three verses. The wherefore says that. So for which reason that we've just been talking about, was being taught into verses 10, 11 and 12, for those reasons you're to take unto you the whole armor of God. And you must take unto you the whole armor of God. And it was just three things. I'm not going to repeat of last week's Bible study. But firstly, we are weak. We are weak. So we are weak in and of ourselves. And we must have God's strength. That's essentially verse 10. Secondly, we are also very vulnerable to the devil's attacks. That's essentially verse 11, and most of verse 12. And thirdly, putting these together then, we are weak and vulnerable because the devil and his demons are more powerful than we are. And that's essentially what it says. And for that reason, Paul begins verse 13, wherefore, having admitted the power and the strength and the moral and spiritual enemy of the people of God, individually and as a whole. We likewise understand this from those three verses, that God is stronger than the devil, that God is greater than the devil, than all our enemies combined. He's far better, he's far greater, and therefore what he has to offer us to defend us and to make us into soldiers of Christ is more than sufficient. It's more than sufficient. As if somebody's got a BB gun and it hits you and it hurts you, it's unpleasant, but then you have 4-inch thick steel armor, is more than enough to protect you against a BB gun pellet. More than enough. Far too much. Yeah, but in the case of the Lord, is it where he gives us something which is far more substantial than we say is necessary, because he is greater and what he gives us is greater than the devil. 1 John 4 and verse 4, the great revelation. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. That is the world, if I remember the context. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so we have our eyes turned away, certainly away from some unbiblical demonology and spiritual warfare. But we're turned back to God and God's provision and God's protection. So that's firstly the pronouncement to put on all the armor. Secondly, the purpose of putting on all the armor. The purpose of putting on all the armor. So verse 13, then, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, and here we have the purpose, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. See, taking unto us the whole armor of God has a divine purpose to it. It has a divine purpose. And as I briefly mentioned last week, not just parts of the armor are to be put on, but the whole of the armor, the protective element, as well as the aggressive element, the protective and the weaponry. But both aspects are to be used. So not just the protective elements in war, that somebody goes out with a full suit of armor on, but hasn't got a sword, hasn't got a shield and anything. Well, a useless soldier. They're protected, but as a soldier, they're useless. They're not taking any ground for the Lord at all. But what about the other extreme, shall we say, of someone not putting their armor on and picking up the sword and then rushing out screaming, you know, thinking I'm gonna win the world for Christ, and yet they're absolutely exposed and vulnerable to all the attacks and the wiles of the devil. No, that's why the Lord is making very clear the whole armor of God. Not to be a useless but protected soldier, and not to be, well, I would also say useless, a soon-to-be-dead Christian soldier with no armor on, with no suit of armor, no protection on. Now, but putting on the whole armor of God has a definite purpose. That's the context. It's not just some bits of armor that suit us, but the armor itself. Take upon unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And that's what Paul describes the definite purpose of the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day. Now, the word withstand is an interesting word. It has a double meaning in both English and in Greek, the Greek word behind it. So we have the idea to be able to stand, and not fall down under the attack, not to fall back, but to stand your ground and to stand up. That's the idea in the verb, and be able to stand in the evil day. To withstand as well is that second idea, is to stand against, to resist, to give, you know, to be an active soldier. So not only are you a soldier that can keep on your feet, but you're a soldier that is also wielding the sword very well. So it has that double idea in both languages, to keep standing and to be an effective soldier. So the truth is that there is certainly warfare happening around the Christian all the time. There is constant Christian warfare, spiritual warfare around the Christian families, around Christian couples, around the Christian congregations, around Christian ministries. And that's why Peter commands the Christian to be sober and to be vigilant, to have self-control and to be awake, to be alert. And this is the context, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Again, that's the understanding that if you don't want to be attacked by the lion, well, you'll need both your armor and the sword and the shield, etc. Because the devil, we know the devil is out to destroy everyone's life. Every life, whether you believe or you don't believe. I mean, we live just off 17th Avenue. We see many destroyed lives. Lives destroyed by all sorts of sin and foolishness and drugs and alcohol, etc. And he's out to destroy everyone's life. He hates those who are made in the image of God. But more especially those whose image of God has been recreated by the rebirth. He hates even more. He hates Christ and he hates the church of Christ. And so he has a desire to destroy Christian lives, Christian testimony, Christian ministry. But here we have this, is that when the whole armor of God is taken and when it's the whole armor of God is put on, God's purpose by that is that we have the victory over the devil, that we overcome the world. There's a purpose to it. And besides the daily battles with the flesh, with the devil and with the world, there's divine purpose also has a specific context given here. That the divine purpose to stand and to remain standing and to withstand is most especially the case in what is called here the evil day. The evil day, verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Every day is evil. Every day consists of great sin in our own lives and in the lives of the world. But this one particular day is a day of great evil that will happen in your own life or in the nation's life. And it will come. Because there is an evil day. There are days that are evil. There are days that are very difficult. And what is those days? Those days that when death hits your household, when grief comes, when great temptation, when great disappointment comes, when attacks come from within your family or from within the church, causing great grief and disappointment in a Christian's life. And they can floor people. They can really pull the rug out from under your spiritual feet when that happens. The things shouldn't happen. As James says about those with a loose tongue and with a gossiping tongue, he says, how can that one tongue praise the Lord and then speak so full of evil things? How can that tongue have two different sources of water, sweet and bitter? It can't. It shouldn't be so. My brethren, it should not be so, he says. But these things do happen. And because of all those things that can happen in life, either on a personal level or on a national or international level, because they do happen, because there are evil days, it therefore demands that we have the whole armor of God on. To be ready. We're not letting the guard down. We're not letting the sword lie limp at our side. We haven't left the shield, as it were, just over on the side over there. But we're prepared because we have the full armor of God on. That we be not knocked down in the day of evil, that we do not be swallowed up by that evil. And when we consider evil, evil will touch each person's life in different ways. But as I was thinking also on national and international level, that there are great forces of evil at work. We see them. We know what they're up to. And I fear that on those levels, they're getting closer and closer. And that will have a direct effect upon personal and family level as regarding evil days. We've had the pronouncement to put on all the armor, the purpose of putting on all the armor, and then the promise in putting on all the armor. The promise in putting on all the armor. And then we get that at the end of verse 13. So the whole of the verse says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And having done all, to stand. What we have, and you may think, well, there's overlap in the idea, isn't that? That is true, but this last part of the verse contains an encouraging promise, a very encouraging promise. And you think about going back to those two extremes of the Christian that's fearful of conflict, and they would put on the protective aspects of the armor, but they wouldn't take up the shield and the sword. For them, it's an encouraging promise. It's an encouraging promise to take up the shield and the sword and prayer. It's an encouraging, and for the believer that is maybe too foolish or too hasty to put on all those aspects of the protective armor and just wants to, and in some ways that includes the shield, or the shield is both protective and aggressive. Instead of just going out, but to give the encouragement, no, but if you do, just take your time, give due diligence, and put on all those aspects of the whole armor of God, including the shield and the sword and the prayer, then you'll be a more effective soldier. You're a keen soldier, but you're too keen. Your foolishness needs to be held back, and you're too timid. You're too fearful, but you do not need to be fearful. So just wait and see what the Lord says, as Paul will open up and give us full understanding of what that is. But for both the timid soldier and for the impatient soldier, there is a promise in taking to yourself the whole armor of God, putting on the whole armor of God. And then Paul uses that, a different phrase here. He says, and having done all. In other words, having put on all the armor. Having done all that the Lord is exhorting you to do, being aware that there is an enemy, being aware of your own weakness, being aware of God's provision, and having done all, what that all is everything from verses 10 to 20. Just to make it very... And so briefly then, obtaining strength from God in order to fight the flesh, the word, and the devil, as I've already just mentioned. Having girt the loins, having put on the breastplate, having shod the feet, having taken up the shield, having put the helmet on the head, having taken up the sword, and then praying. Having done all those, thou shalt remain standing in the fight. Thou shalt not be overwon by the devil. The evil day will not swallow you whole. As a promise, we will stand. There is a standing. We will overcome. Christ's victory over evil will be echoed in our own lives. Of course, this is understood. This overcoming, this conquering, is of course on a spiritual level. It's not that we will be on the front page of the papers. We won't be applauded and celebrated by the world's press like a Zelensky or something. This is a quiet, low key, but a more valiant fight. Not merely against the troops of Russia, but against the forces of wickedness, against the forces of the kingdom of Satan. But there will be an overwinning. There will be a conquering. And that's a promise. So that's an encouragement to both the timid and to the reckless, shall we say. That if we do due diligence and we do everything, and we do dare to pick up that sharp sword, and we do dare to learn to use that shield of faith, that there is a promise that in the evil day, and that's the worst of days, so every day, there will be a victory in our lives. Let us close then with the words of the Apostle Paul, 1 John and chapter 5 and the first 5 verses. He says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And much more of what John has written there we will see as we open up with the Lord's gracious help, verses 14 to 20, to understand more of the details, necessary details, of the whole armor of God, and therefore to make use of that promise that is given to us in verse 13. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand and not to fall. Amen. Let us close this part of our meeting in prayer, please. Lord, we do thank thee for thy word and what we have before us. That there is a great purpose, especially when we consider the putting on of the whole armour of God. But there is that promise in it also. But Lord, we do thank thee that we have the means to stand and to withstand and to conquer the most wicked forces. Lord, and not just the devil, but all those through whom he works. So those that would be godless, we think of great globalist organizations and schemers whose desire is to put away the Bible and the gospel and Christ. But Lord, thou hast already overwon them. They are a defeated foe. And we thank thee, Lord, that thou art the conquering king. And as we go into battle as soldiers of Christ, we must put on that whole armour. And we do pray, Lord, as we've understood something of that need, and now the command and the purpose and the promise, Lord, that we be encouraged then to examine these further elements of the armour, and the Lord, that we would understand how we are to make use of them. And Lord, it is all thy provision. We thank thee for it, for thy great care for thy people. And so bless it to us, whether we be timid or reckless. And Lord, that we be drawn back and have our hearts encouraged by thee. Lord, bless thy word to us. May it be that word that would convert, that it would revive, that it would do all that thou wilt to thine own glory. Help us now in this time of prayer. We need thee to help us, Lord. Even as Paul was writing, that we need that prayer and to pray with all supplication, and for all things and for all saints, for all the needs. Help us, Lord, in this time of prayer. We pray thee in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.